The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, our Friday forum is made up of Colin Brophy, Minister of State for Migration, Fine Gael TD for Dublin West, Marie Sherlock, Labour TD for Dublin Central, and Christina Finn, Political Editor with the Journal.ie. One of our topics is going to be what happened in Northern Ireland, in Ballymena, and then in Larne and Portadown. And we thought we'd play this for you. Josh Crosby, our reporter, has been up there monitoring what's been happening over the last few nights. And he spoke to this man at a protest in Portadown last night.
No help from the police, no help from government or anybody. Where would you go? You've only got your own local people, local community to depend on. And even my own wife, when she would come in late at night here to do a bit of shopping, maybe about, say, 7, 8 o'clock, which isn't overly late, she has been followed around the shop. I had to buy her a taser. I don't care if they say they're illegal or what they are. I bought her a taser, told her, you keep that in your pocket.
And this stemmed from Ballymena. But why is it taken off here now in Portadown?
People can reflect, because Northern Ireland's so local, everybody knows each other in different towns, different families and things, and we're all disgusted by it. So I think it's only right that we sort of stand together and let them know that we're not going to take it. As far as I can see, you know, we had the Provisional IRA. They were out and they were violent, and the government paid attention to them. They listened to them. Where the ordinary peaceful man, they completely ignore. The message they have sent out since then, violence pays.
So there you are, violence pays. That's the message that's going out. Colm, what's going on in Portadown that makes it in some way unique? Because it does seem to be loyalist people rioting and destroying amenities that they themselves use.
Well, I don't think it's unique. I think regardless of who's doing the rioting, I think it's something that should always be condemned. I think it is totally unacceptable behaviour. And it's so regrettable to see, you know, as you say, community facilities being destroyed by people who then claim they're protecting community. And it shows the absolute farce of their argument. But it is, I think, one of the most regrettable aspects of what we're dealing with in various places in the world at this moment in time. And this one is obviously right here at home, is that type of violent reaction and people thinking that violence is the solution. Violence is never the solution. No matter what the issue is, violence is never the solution.
It was interesting talking to Sean Mulholland, the MLA, the Alliance MLA, and I put it to her, you know, could it be that these rioters, when they are hit by plastic bullets or whatever it is and end up going to hospital, that they'll probably be tended to by migrants? And she said, not probably, will definitely be tended to by migrants. Mm-hmm. So the idiocy of all of this is hard to contemplate.
And look, that's the reality right across the 32 counties of Ireland, that you know, our migrant communities play a crucial and really important role across every community. Look, the scenes that we have seen over the last four nights are absolutely disgraceful and appalling and heartbreaking, to be very frank. And we have to be very clear here, like, as in, there have been certain political actors in the north who've been whipping up this anti-immigrant sentiment. We saw what a number of DUP politicians said on Monday. Obviously, the attack on the Larne Community Centre, in terms of the community's minister, who should be showing leadership as opposed to pandering, to
indicating what was happening in Larne Community Centre, that people were being brought there.
Absolutely, you know, and it is disgraceful. But the key thing though is when we look at what's happening in Ballymena and Portadown, and indeed what we saw here in Dublin on November 23rd, 2003, in Dublin, and indeed in other parts of the world right now, there is a huge frustration because people feel left behind. But the critical thing here is that there is a small number of people whipping up that hate and discontent. There are larger people who are really frustrated because they've been left behind. And we need to make sure that we collectively address those concerns, because right now what's happening is immigrants are being blamed for the problems of the wider community, when we need to actually put the blame at the door of government, whether it's Westminster or Dublin or wherever. But the reality is people have been failed in terms of housing, but taking it out on immigrants, there's absolutely no excuse for that.
Christina?
Yeah, we had a reporter up there earlier this week, Dermot Pepper, and he did a good report for us in terms of just going around and speaking to locals. And, you know, it was quite striking in terms of he was told to make himself scarce when he went up to speak to a number of locals about what was going on, saying that they would only speak to certain news outlets, that they wouldn't be speaking to us. And then speaking to some people that were really fearful, like, I think he was speaking to one Bulgarian man who said that it was his Polish and Romanian neighbours that were actually coming to help him clean up some of the damage that had been done to his house, and he didn't have any sort of assistance from his Northern Irish neighbours. And then other people saying that it was a great area, that it was just really unfortunate that it had come to this. But there seems to be a real fear now about, like, even though people might think it's sort of calming down to some degree, you know, there's a big fear there for like Saturday evening, you know, as we go into the weekend, that this, even though maybe there's been a bit of a lull, that it might actually just bolster people over the weekend who perhaps don't have much else to be doing on a Sunday
morning. I'm just wondering, to what extent are they missing, you know, the excitement of the old riotous days?
Yeah, and it just feels as well that, you know, this all sparked from an alleged attack on a young girl, and, you know, lots of questions being asked about. There's plenty of violence against women that has been perpetrated across this island, both north and south. And to say that this is somehow linked to protecting or about that girl is just farcical. We've even had the PSNI chief coming out saying this isn't the justice for that girl, that this is just an excuse for
blatant
racism.
And her family have appealed for
calm. And they have as well,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Colm, it you hear people, particularly those who are equivocal about the protesters, the rioters up there, saying the reason this is happening is because there are underlying causes, and it could be to do with the fact that, you know, the health service they're getting is not good enough. The housing situation is chronic in Northern Ireland as well as here. And then they look at immigrants who are in housing, whether it's provided by the state or whether they provide it themselves, you know, working hard and paying rent or purchasing. So those underlying causes as perceived by the protesters, what do you do about that? You can't say to them, listen, if you're lazy, it's your own fault. If you haven't got a job, it's your own fault. There's loads of jobs there, and these people are coming in and they are willing and prepared to do the jobs that you are not prepared to do. How do you get that message across?
I think we have to be careful, and we've made a number of the contributions so far, which I would totally agree with. Like, there's a section of people in society that just want to find some easy, quick solution to blame someone. They don't care about the realities of what is actually happening. They don't care whether someone has actually worked incredibly hard, bought a home entirely on their own resources, or received any support. They're just looking at them as someone that they want to blame because in some way they are slightly different to them, be it their origin country, be it their religion, be it whatever reason. So they become a target. And there is a tendency amongst certain extreme politicians to whip that up. So what I think for all of us is important is that as centre politicians, as government, as political parties, as people who actually care about our society, that we work to address the issues that cause very genuine people to have worries and concerns. Mm. They don't express it through violence. They just want to see a better world in which they live. And I think that's important that government does and is willing to work on things like housing, work on the issues that affect people. But also recognise never to give succour to that small percentage of people who, it doesn't matter what we do, it doesn't matter how much improvements we make, will still target. People have found reasons to riot for centuries. They'll continue to stoke those reasons. And it is a very, very worrying thing that what seems to be happening now, particularly in a Northern Ireland context, I listened to an interview last night, is people wanting to bring people, ironically, quote unquote, together from different parts of the original divide to actually engage in violent protest and to target new people into their community. Absolutely shocking.
This text: the problem is not migrants. The problem is when we allow violent criminals to stay in countries they move to instead of deporting them. The vast majority are decent, so keep them. The undesirables, put them out. Why can politicians not see that the growing right is flourishing because of political inaction? I mean, Marie, what about that? The idea that our processes are so slow, and I know Colm has been trying to address those things and the issues. But when your processes are so slow, when you don't have ready ways of identifying people or whether or not they have criminal records, when people destroy their papers, any documents they have, which they use to get on an aircraft and don't have getting off the aircraft, I mean, our systems must be to blame for the kind of the mix of people that we may get in, some of whom we should not have?
Well, we need to be very clear now here because there's obviously so much information and misinformation out there. Obviously, every person coming in through the airports effectively has to go through fingerprinting. And obviously, if there's a police record, they are picked up by Interpol, right? So I think this notion that people are freely coming in through our airports and we have no idea who they are is simply incorrect. The other key thing is that under the Geneva Convention, there is very clear protections for those seeking refugee status in other countries. And the reality is that if somebody is coming to a country fleeing persecution or war, or indeed has been targeted in a particular way, they're not going to book a flight and just, you know, arrive into Dublin. Like, isn't the measures that they're going to have to take to try and leave their country to come into another country are extraordinary.
And I think we have sent people back to Georgia and to Nigeria who had no right to be here.
And look,
that caused a bit of a scandal because some kids were taken out of school to be deported, which is
Pat, and you've touched on a really important point here, because look, you know, and Colm rightly talks about that there are politicians out there who are only intent on trying to stir up hate, right? But there are also politicians within our political system, within Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, arguably, right? Who, you know, we have seen this showboating, if I can put it like that,
that's
with regards to deportation.
Do you know that is objectionable, and it's at the heart of what causes riots and trouble and things?
Is
that type of ridiculous comment?
But almost ridiculous.
Let's clarify what you said.
No, absolutely.
There are politicians within Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Then Colm interrupted. What charge were you laying against Fianna Fáil?
So the glee with regards to the deportations in terms of those flights taking off over the last number of weeks, the way that that has been reported, it's almost to try and put forward a strongman approach to a system where the government has failed. Like, the government have been promising for many years now to have reception centres and have not come good. The second key thing is in the Fine Gael manifesto at the general election, we had a clear proposal put down for policies of detention, right? That wording was used with regards to people who are seeking immigration status in this country, are seeking asylum status in this country, and in terms of how their movements would effectively be restricted. And that's all playing into the notion that people who are coming to this country seeking refugee status, fleeing that persecution or war, are effectively, you know, unsafe.
Hey, Christina, I'll come back to Colm in a second.
There definitely has been a marked departure in terms of government messaging around the issue of immigration, in terms of a change in tone, the photos going out of people being put onto planes. In comparison, I suppose, to the initial discussion or debate around this with Leo Varadkar, Roderick O'Gorman, at that time there was a lot of discussion about a communications campaign from the government about how they were going to clearly give information to the public about the difference between people who are here on work permits, people that work in nursing homes and hospitals, how the asylum seeker system works, the checks and balances. Like, there was talk about that ongoing within the Department of Taoiseach, I think, for the last 2 or 3 years. Nothing I have ever seen. I've never seen an advert on the side of a bus. I've never seen an advert on the television explaining clearly how this actually works, to put a bit of a human face on this. And that, I think, is the issue here, in terms of we can talk all day about the numbers that are being put on planes. And there are points to be made about the likes of people from, you know, Georgia and safe lists and all the rest, and people coming here that don't have the right to stay. But I think there is an element here that we're missing, sort of the human element here in terms of the discussion. There's going to be bad actors in any group. There are, from an Irish perspective, of people that go abroad.
Okay, but justice delayed is justice denied. I find it appalling that you get kids who've been in school for 3 or 4 years and end up being deported. They've no memory, perhaps, of the country to which they're being sent. They may have extended family there. That's shocking. And the reason it's shocking is because if a decision like this was going to be made, it should have been made quickly. And it hasn't been.
Would it be possible to just to let me back in, because there's three people making points, some of which are absolutely objectionable in my view, and that's unfortunately the case that's done all the time by the Social Democrats and the Labour Party, particularly wanting to have a system that is a firm, fair and effective system to deal with migration is not taking glee in anything, and that's objectionable. It's objectionable not just to me, by the way, as a politician. It's objectionable to all the people out there who listen to this show and have genuine concerns and questions and answers. And when politicians who want to exploit a situation, and I actually think you are exploiting the situation for your own political end. Make allegations that politicians and ministers who are just literally organising and putting in place a process that is based absolutely on a fair process, is based on a firm, effective, fair process. So let's take one of the specific allegations that you, Pat, made in your contribution there. Families who are eventually caught in a situation of a deportation flight have been given notice for years. Our first port of call is to actually talk to people about voluntary return. We put in place packages to facilitate and help them. We put support, including financial support. We engage at every level. We try and make sure that nobody ends up on a deportation flight. You have a process where you can appeal. You have an independent adjudication, nothing to do with any minister, nothing to do with the state. It's
what
independent.
I'm just saying, though, it's how terrible it is for those kids and for their classmates, suddenly they vanish.
And that is why we don't want to be in that situation. And that's why it's unbelievable that nobody seems to take into account that there is also an onus on the parents.
So it's blame the parents.
It's not blame the parents. It's a recognition of the fact that a whole process was gone through. And if at the end of that process, as was the case in that particular situation, you're found not to have a right to remain in the country.
But Colm, can you just let me finish?
Because it's really important, because it's lost in what you're saying, and it's consistently lost. The family is given the right to arrange their own process of leaving, to actually not put their children through trauma, to not put themselves through trauma, to say, you've been served a deportation notice, I will now leave the country, as you are required to do by law.
Do you not think that the slowness of the process gives people hope, and they don't do it, they don't go out, because they hang on to the thread of hope that they ultimately will be allowed to stay?
I do, absolutely, Pat. And that is why that myself and Jim O'Callaghan will bring forward legislation coming out of the European Migration Pact, which will radically reform the processing period and will take from the current situation we have to a point where, for the vast, vast majority of cases, after June 2026, we will have a 12-week processing period, including appeal. So we will take ourselves away from having this elongated process, because we recognise we are not people who take glee or joy in things. That's offensive.
But where's the integration?
But we are people that actually want to.
Where's
and
the
I gave a commitment.
Messaging around that?
Sorry,
because, well,
I
sorry,
gave an absolute
say,
commitment.
In first, there has been a pivot in terms of the government messaging over the last number of years in relation to how you guys have handled this. You know, you had, you know, Leo Varadkar, Simon Harris up on their feet shouting at the opposition benches when they would say some of the things that are said 2 years later from people on your own side. But, like, where's the promise of, you have photos of people being loaded onto planes. Where's the messaging around the human faces behind immigration there that we've been promised for I think, over 2 years at this point? There is no messaging.
I gave a commitment when I took on the responsibility as the first actually ever designated Minister of State with sole responsibility in the migration area, that I will introduce that campaign. There had been the start of that campaign just prior to the last election. Obviously, because of the election, that campaign got suspended. I think it is vitally important. The one area where I do agree 100% is this, that our country is a country that's made up of people who've come here, that we've asked to come here, that are actually at the heart of providing essential services, running our hospitals, providing all the key services. They're also, by the way, and this is important to recognise, people who work in some of the most high-tech jobs. They work in specialist areas, providing incredible support to the businesses that are at the heart of the economic boom in Ireland.
And that is why I have
given the commitment that we will absolutely have an information campaign about that. Because I think, and my party, by the way, which is a party which has tremendous support right across various communities in our country, is a party that believes that the new Ireland is an Ireland that will be made up of people who've come here, who'll make their life here, as well as people who were born here. And we must champion that.
Wasn't there an ad I heard of a person saying he was set upon by a number of migrants. And it turned out he was on the operating table and the surgeon was a migrant, the nurse was a migrant, the porter was a migrant, you know, the anaesthesiologist was a migrant. And that's the reality of our medical system
it
today. So there was some messaging
buckle,
which
it
I came across.
But there is,
and it's part of a really much greater argument, in relation to social media and how we tackle social media. Because, I mean, if you even look this week, there was a mural being painted of Oliver Plunkett on a wall. And that was misrepresented through far-right social media. As I'm not even going to go into the various points that were made, but complete misrepresentation can be done instantly. We had an incident in our country very recently where very bad actors almost tried to completely misrepresent the narrative. And I do think we have to look at how we as the state try and deal with that and how our communication channels have to be fast, because mainstream media sometimes, and this is not a criticism, by the way, of mainstream media, but mainstream media, because it does its job right, properly and correctly, takes too long.
We're going to pivot towards America in a moment, right. But Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, has a policy in his office of immediately addressing every social media lie that is posted about him. Or the latest one was about his wife claiming she was off shopping while the riots were going on. The picture they used was from January. So he addressed it immediately, corrected it, and the posts were taken down. Anyway, we want to talk to about America after this.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, we're pivoting towards the United States now, what's been going on in L.A., and it's arguable that the scenes in Ballymena and Portadown were more riotous than those witnessed by the people of L.A., confined to a tiny part of the city, and yet the National Guard and Marines out on the street as ICE pick up hapless people that Donald Trump and Stephen Miller want to deport. I must say, it's shocking what's going on in L.A., talking about L.A. being taken over by socialists. I mean, it's just laughable if it wasn't so serious, Colin.
I agree with you. It is laughable if it wasn't so serious. I don't think there are any politicians, Democrat or Republican, in the United States that would fall into the category of socialist in the way we in Europe would actually understand what a proper social democratic policy was. I think, though, at the heart of it does really show that in Trump's America, there is a real problem. In terms of the way communities feel that they are absolutely under siege and how other organisations of the state act and react to situations.
Could you see a situation where, and we've got, you know, 170 odd TDs or whatever, they have 100 senators, where one of our TDs were actually taken by the Gardaí and the special branch or whatever and handcuffed and hauled out of a press conference in Leinster House? It's just unimaginable. It happened in California.
It was truly appalling. It was to see an elected member of any parliament in the world. It is, and it's the type of thing we were talking about it just before we came on air, thing that, you know, it's only a couple of hundred days of Trump's administration. If we were thinking about it as if it's been there for so long, so much has changed in a way that is now happening in the States that you would have associated literally 6 months ago or 12 months ago with the type of things that happen in countries of a very different
day. It's kind of like the desensitization, you know, seeing those scenes and you nearly flick by because it's like, it's par for the course nearly. That's been going on for the last 100
and this is what you
days.
Might expect in one of the banana republics of Central and South America. And the United States would be standing up, banging
but
the table and giving out about the despots.
We're mistaken to think that it doesn't play, it plays into exactly the messaging that Trump wants. Maybe not in sort of, you know, the democratically, you know, side of California, but this is very much sending a message to the rest of America, to his Trump followers, about the kind of hard-hitting president he wants to be on immigration. It's playing exactly into the messaging that he wants.
Yeah.
I think many of us are scrambling for our history books at the moment in terms of the authoritarian regimes that the United States was trying to take down in the 70s and 80s, and looking at these scenes in the States at the moment, and it's absolutely terrifying. Like, to think that Democratic Senator Alex Padilla was, as you say, like, effectively handcuffed and taken away by police at a press conference.
And yet I'm wondering, are we pulling the veil off America? Because if you go back to Chile and you had the assassination of Allende, and then the United States backing the disappearance of ordinary citizens on the streets, the United States supported that. We know what happened after 9/11, the invasion and so on. So are we maybe taking away the rose tint off our own glasses when we look at America?
Well, perhaps, and I'd be the first to say I haven't thought about it in that sort of detail. But what is happening right now is that I think the fracturing of the United States, and I think particularly between the East Coast and the West Coast, like if this is happening now, as Cullum says, only a few, you know, 100+ days into Trump's presidency, where are we going to be this time next year? And you know, people throw around the term civil war and whatever else, and it seems, you know, fanciful and incredible, you know, unbelievable, but seeing those scenes right now, and also the indiscriminate way that they're picking up on people, that the ICE teams effectively are just picking up on people, you know, regardless of who they are, it is absolutely shocking.
And again, it's putting that human face on it. You know, when you read some of the coverage on it, you have students that are studying there in UCLA or whatever, talking about that they can't find their uncle, or they don't know where their aunt has gone. You know, these are people that, you know, have lived in the US for years, and having family members.
There is popular support just about for Trump's migration policy or anti-immigrant policy, close the borders, but there is not a majority support for the way he's doing it. And that includes mostly Republican supported, but not all of them, and Democrats overwhelmingly condemn it.
But incredibly, I was just reading now, I mightn't have this specifically right, but the Latino community within the United States that is born in the United States were very strong supporters of Trump during the election. And he, in his messaging at that point, was talking about, oh, we'll be targeting people who are criminals. We'll be targeting people who are X and Y. And it seems to be that it is that group that are particularly now realizing that what is actually happening is a much, much broader change in terms of the order going out to ICE people is totally indiscriminate. And by the way, it's not just a thing. There are people from all backgrounds who have been in the States that are now being targeted in a way that just has never happened, not in any previous administration. And I think there is the potential in the United States for an awful lot of civil problems in relation to different parts of the country.
And speaks to as well the segmentation of, you know, the so-called what is the appropriate immigrant to have in the United States. Like I remember I was over in the White House when Donald Trump was president previously, and I think it was either Enda Kenny. I think it was Enda Kenny at the time, one of the first visits that they had, and they were talking about the Irish immigrants and saying, you know, could we get that sorted? And he asked for the number of Irish immigrants that were undocumented, and he was like, you could hear him going, that's a very low number. We'll get that sorted. Until afterwards, that one of his staff came up to us and said, oh, look, like we had to kind of tell him, like, he can't just tick a box for the so-called, you know, white immigrants. And that's exactly what we're seeing here.
I'm reminded, and maybe in conclusion, the poem. A statement, really, which has been reproduced as a poem by the pastor Martin Niemöller. First they came for the communists and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me and there was no one left to speak out for me. And that's what's happening in the United States. Target by target by target, sector by sector by sector, and eventually all resistance will be gone.
Yeah, and we should expect nothing from the Republican Party. When we saw the response by the Republicans post the January 6th riots in 2022 and the capitulation to Trump at the time, I think the path was set then for Trump's extremely authoritarian regime.
The hope, Colin, though, is that almost half the people voted for Kamala Harris.
Yeah. I think the other hope is, because I do think we should do hope in this area, I think it is important that American politics is very, very unpredictable. A few years out from a election that saw Barack Obama elected as president of the United States, there wasn't a single person who knew who he was or could actually name him. And he actually was able to come through a process that eventually resulted in him becoming the president of the United States. So I think there are a lot of very good people in the United States. There are a lot of good people, by the way, who also vote Republican. There are a lot of good people on all sides. And it's just a matter of looking to see, you know, how it will evolve. The Trump is the democratically elected president of the United States. We have to accept that. He has a mandate to govern. But what will happen in the future will be interesting to watch.
Colin Brophy, Minister of State for Migration, Fine Gael TD for Dublin West, Marie Sherlock, Labour TD for Dublin Central, and Christina Finn, Political Editor with the Journal.ie. Thank you all for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.